Thanks very much again. Just a reminder that we have Republican Senator Ken Winters. We have Democratic Representative Mike Cherry represented by both sides this morning. And both of you gentlemen are retiring at the end of your term. And so we felt like you two gentlemen would be great to talk to about last night's election outcomes. And I'd like to, first recap your individual districts. So Senator Winters, we'll start with you. The Trigg County Judge Executive Stan Humphreys will succeed you in office.
Yes.
And he was the Republican on the ticket. He received your endorsement and has since won this race. If you could tell me a bit more about your thoughts on Stan Humphreys and your thoughts on the race.
Well, I'm extremely pleased that Stan Humphreys was available and aggressively interested in pursuing this race. He's an outstanding fella. I'm going to back up and say I've campaigned about as much for House representatives down here and Stan as I did for myself. So it's been a very tough year for everyone. But the reason I bring that up is the more I was exposed to Stan in the environment that he's running. The more and more impressed I was. It really reached a point where I made the comment that once he is before a group and they hear him and they detect that sincerity about his beliefs and where he stands and his commitments, then he virtually had them in his camp when that happened. So I'm extremely pleased about that.
Did you think that it would have been a challenge, though, initially, because he is in a fringe county for the first district in Trigg County, trying to win the rest of the counties west of him?
Well, you know, I talk to people in more than one county about the potential there, and coming down on that, he seemed to be the appropriate one, and it is unique. You know, probably me being in Callaway County made it a little easier for me, but Trigg County was a great county for me. Even in both races that I had, but it really has to come down to the fact that who's the best for us, and then if they're on a fringe, if they were in Carlisle, Hickman, or Fulton counties, then name recognition becomes an issue, and we have to work harder. And we worked very, very hard for Stan, but it didn't take a mountain moving event in order for him to be a key element in this race, so I'm proud of him.
And Stan Humphreys won every county in the first district except for Fulton County, and that, again, was a very close race. Representative Cherry, we'll go to you now to talk about the 4th District State House race, which is your home district you've represented since 1999. And the candidate you endorse, Raymond Genina, was not able to win last night. We had winner Lynn Beckler, who had ran against you a couple of times, right?
Just once, actually.
Just one time. So tell me a bit about where you think Mr. Genina fell short in his campaign for the State House.
Well, I want to back up just for a quick second. I know Stan Humphreys quite well, too. Of course, Trigg and Caldwell County are almost sister cities, and it's not a great surprise that Stan won that race. I am surprised of the margin of victory. That was strong, indicated a strong Republican showing throughout the first district, but Ken, Senator Winters mentioned a mountain moving event, and of course the mountain moving event was Barack Obama and his unpopularity in Western Kentucky in particular, which I think was a big contributor to many races. Now we'll never know how much of a contributor, but certainly. Certainly a contributor, and certainly the Republican Party did a good job of the linkage between the Democratic candidates and Obama. You know, we can debate forever whether or not it was a correct portrayal, but the bottom line is that it worked quite well in the campaign, and it made a big difference. I can't hardly talk about District 4 in isolation because right where you are in Callaway County and right where I am in Caldwell County, although I'm in Frankfort right now, obviously. Well, not obviously. I don't remember whether you mentioned that or not, but I am. Life goes on, and the Pension Reform Task Force, which I chair, co-chair, goes on, and that's why I'm up here. But we were in a unique. Our geographical area in Kentucky was in a very unique situation as far as the House of Representatives in Kentucky is concerned. We had four open seats, all contiguous, a block, mm-hmm. if you will.
Yeah.
And we went into the race with three of these four seats being Democrat and one Republican. And we just totally reversed it. We came out with one Democrat and three Republicans. Interestingly enough, the change was going from Republican to Democrat because Gerald Watkins defeated his opponent Crockett in Paducah relatively handily, and then you turn right around and have the three Republicans defeat the contiguous candidates, Kelly Whitaker getting beat by Richard Heath in District 2, Raymond Janina getting beat by Lynn Beckler in District 4, and Hal Kemp getting beat by Kenny Imes in District 5. And the same thing occurred to all those candidates, and the margin of victory was very similar, 54, 55, 56% in the three respective races. Very, very similar geographics, very similar campaigns, and all three of the Democratic challengers lost in those three races. But so it turned out to be quite interesting and quite unique, and it helped the Republicans gain the four seats, which I don't know if you want me to go into that now,
I wanted to ask you, Representative Cherry, if you think that the outcome would have been the same if the possibility of the Republicans taking over the House was not an option. Do you think that you would have seen as much push from the state party? Do you think the Republican candidates would have came on as strong? And do you think we would have seen the flip-flop that we have in our region?
I don't think the Republican effort to pick up the 10 seats had a big impact on our four contiguous races in the purchase, or most of the purchase, some of the Pinerol, of course. I don't think that had a big impact. I don't think people focused on that. I think they focused on the tie-in between the House state level races and the national races, and I think the Romney coattails were just stronger and better utilized by the Republican Party than any coattails I have seen since I ran in 1998. So I don't really think that was an issue, other than you might make the case, well, there was more money donated from various sources, and therefore that was helpful, because in the last couple of weeks there was a lot of money spent that I for one didn't expect to see spent, and it made a difference. But nowhere did I hear anybody talking about, oh, we got to vote Republican so they can take over the state house. I just don't think that was particularly much of a factor. Didn't need to be much of a factor as far as the individual reason that someone would vote Republican or Democrat.
Senator Winters, let's talk about, too, with Stan Humphries taking your seat in the state Senate, and you have served as the Education Committee Chair since your time in the state Senate. Who do you expect to succeed you, or who would you like to see succeed you in that role? And do you have any indication of whether or not Mr. Humphries would be able to serve on the Education Committee?
Well, I think he would desire, if you talk to him, I think you would hear him say that he would like to be on Education Committee, Agriculture, Economic Development, and Veterans Affairs. Those tend to be his interest, I've found. And he would be good in either of those roles. No question, his agriculture background, his teaching background, all of those things would lend to his credibility on those committees. The decision about who the committee chair will be, you know, naturally, at this point, is a little bit up in the air because, you know, with Senator Williams leaving, Judge Williams, I should say, I guess today, leaving the Senate, it means that there is a leadership election to occur in the Senate, and therefore that decision will be made following that election. But, you know, there's at least two people in the Senate that I have talked to about the about that role, and I think might not be wise for me to identify them today, but two strong people.
But your recommendation has boded well for Stan Humphries. So is there a reason why you would prefer not to make their names public?
No, it's just that I don't want to dictate what a new team would do. But we have Senator Wilson from over at Bowling Green. Mike Wilson would be a good one. He's been on the committee for a long time. David Givens, Senator Givens from Greene County, has been on that committee. Both of them, I've been impressed in the way they have, not coming from as in-depth of education background as I have, I've been really impressed with the degree of understanding and the study and the participation they have on the committee. So I would be comfortable with either of those two fellows serving.
We spoke with Representative Cherry not long after he announced his retirement, and in that interview, and Representative Cherry, I'll get to you on this question in just a second, but I want to ask Sure. Senator Winters about this. Along with serving since 1999, you felt like it was time to go. You also mentioned that state government, state politics are just too partisan right now, and I wanted to ask you, Senator Winters, if you agree with that statement that you feel like Frankfort is too partisan, and also if you think that that this election may change some things.
Indeed, the partisanship is a troubling element about our experience and our involvement in Frankfort. But I'm not convinced that this election is going to make a significant difference. I know that as we move forward, if there had been a 10-seat gain in the House, and by the way, Mike made a comment about there being four seats, and it looks like with some potential litigation, a thing or two, there might be one or two additional ones later, if depending on the outcome of those hearings. But they did not reach that 10 level. If they had, there could have been a little less partisanship, and more bipartisan work. But it seems that we're not unique in Kentucky in that regard, though, because we're seeing it across the country and we're seeing it at the federal level that unbelievable. I don't know whether we're duplicating them or they're duplicating us, but it is an issue, and it's an issue that impacts down-to-earth, solid decisions about our future. And you know, people ask me, do you enjoy your service? And I said, I do. When I feel that we're all trying to do something that's right rather than prevail on an issue, whether it's right or wrong. And it's not enjoyable at that point. That is not a reason that I would have left. But certainly there is a strong bipartisan atmosphere.
Representative Cherry, your thoughts?
Well, of course, I agree with most everything Senator Winter said, except I can't help from adding when Ken said if the Republicans had won 10, it would have changed things drastically in Frankfort, and indeed it would. Very much partisanship wouldn't even be an issue anymore because the Senate and House would both be in Republican hands. So as far as legislation is concerned, I mean, it would made a very big difference. But on the national level, I think it's a part of it is perhaps getting older, because I can remember my father and my grandfather saying much the same thing that I say, but I can't believe that it's ever been any worse than it is now as far as the partisanship at the national level and all the way down. We are becoming a blue and red nation, and I don't care for that. I hope we can all remember that we're not a blue and red. We're a United States, not blue and red states. But and I still think that's an issue. And I think that the election that we just had on the national level didn't do much to change that. I hope and I seriously pray that all of us will, regardless of whether our person won or not, will remember that first and foremost we're all American citizens, and we need to strive for success in whatever we do, regardless of who's leading the country. And my four words for everybody out there would be, let's just get along. And I think that's the most important thing right now in the political scene. And we'll see how that works out. But nothing much has changed in Frankfort. The House has gone from a 59-41 to a 55-45, and that really doesn't change any of the dynamics as far as the House of Representatives is concerned, and I expect our leadership to remain the way it is. The Senate, we haven't mentioned it, but one of the shockers to me was the defeat of Joy Pendleton by a handful of votes, a little under 300 out of 37,000. So that's a handful of votes. But Joy Pendleton losing his seat over in Hopkinsville to Whitney Westerfield, that was a shocker.
Do you think that was? Sorry to interrupt you, but do you think that was again part of being down ballot from President Obama, or is there something else?
Oh, absolutely.
There?
Oh, absolutely! No, absolutely. I mean, we'll never know. But did out of 37,000 votes, was there 300 of them or so that were influenced by that? Well, of course, absolutely. Especially in close races. That to me is a big factor. Incumbents continued to do well, and looking back at the House side for a moment, we only had three incumbents out of 45 contested races lose. There were some close races won by incumbents, but incumbents pretty much held their own as they normally do. Again, the margins were not as strong as you sometimes see. Senator Winters mentioned there was two races still contested. I don't are still the outcome of some future adjudication. I don't exactly.
Are you mentioning the 7th district race, Senator Winters, that was separated by 5 votes? Is that
5 votes? Well, that's what I was getting ready to mention, and I'm sure there'll be a recount there, and that could obviously make a difference. Except historically, recounts almost always go to the way they started out. We will see. 5 votes is.
That's close.
Is amazing. That was an amazing race to watch because Representative Arnold was down early when the votes came in from the more metropolitan areas outside of Union County, and then Representative Arnold got up fairly big in Union County, and then we went away thinking he was in pretty good shape, and when the smoke settled, we had a 5-vote difference. I don't remember a vote that close, 7,890 to 7,885. Fascinating. Yeah. We'll see how that one comes out. But whichever way it goes, it doesn't change the demographics in the House in Frankfort, in my opinion.
Senator Winters,
the other district that you know, it may have been resolved by now, but there was some indication last night that District 40, and Mike may have a response to that already. That there is litigation there regarding the residency of the.
Of the candidate?
Of the candidate, uh-huh.
Mike, do you know much about that, the 40th district?
Hold on just a second. The 40th, it's not the 40th. The 40th, are you talking, Ken? Let me try to get in my mind just exactly what race you're talking about, because the 40th wasn't contested. That was Dennis Horlander's seat.
That is the one.
That's the one.
That's the one I was in. I was told last evening that they're questioning his residency.
I'm with you. There's another controversy going on that one of the Republicans, quite frankly, wasn't sure about his residence, but he lost anyway.
And yes, he did. Yeah.
I was thinking that's the one you were talking about. Yes, Dennis Horlander and where he lives. I understand that. Of course, he was unopposed, and if he's if he's taken off the ballot, we'll have to have a special election. There won't be a winner. But I'm with you now. The Dennis Horlander situation. We don't think that's serious. We think that he'll be okay.
Okay.
Well, let's talk about now the big issue that we talked to the candidates that basically flip flopped of far western Kentucky that went from Democrat to Republican and vice versa. The obviously the big issue has been the pension. And each one of these candidates have taken a pledge that if they can reform the pension system, they won't take a pension. But my question is, how big of an issue is lawmaker pension versus the entire state pension system? You know, if these lawmakers don't take a pension, is that going to make us solvent, Senator Winters?
Well, absolutely not. Yeah. No, absolutely not. That's not a big issue.
No,
about,
it won't make any difference.
No, yeah. About the 30 plus million or billion uh-huh. shortfall in the pension system. But you know, that's admirable for them to say that. But the retirement system, unless someone leaves it and goes somewhere else for a much higher salary and builds upon that, but the retirement for the General Assembly, which is similar to one I had at Murray State and other places where we contribute to it, and if you're only there 4 years or 8 years or 12 years, it's a very insignificant dollar value. But I am, and we have attempted to write that issue about legislative retirement and as far as trying to do something about that. But everyone can make their own judgment about whether they want to accept it or not. But I think everyone that I've talked to on all sides say we have to do something about the general pension problems we have in Kentucky.
And Representative Cherry, yeah. You sit on the pension task force. So.
Well, of course, that's been my area of expertise for the last 6 or 8 years, the whole pension issue. And I've been in a meeting this morning before we've talked here in Frankfort on it, and that's why I'm in Frankfort instead of down at the studio with you guys. It's fascinating. It's interesting, Ken. You know, Albert Robertson, who was the author of the bill that changed the pension system. It came from the Senate to the House, and we've all tried various ways to change it in the last few years, and I'll get to that just for a minute. But Albert Robertson got reelected to the Senate, and so it didn't seem to have a whole lot of impact, at least on his race. But the biggest cost factor of the legislative pension retirement system is this thing called reciprocity, where in 2004 legislation was passed, which I voted against, by the way, for whatever that's worth, and it just barely passed in the House, but it did pass, and it set up a reciprocity situation where Ken or I could go to work for the governor or the government in some way, in state government, and work for 2 or 3 years, and then we would get our high three, and whatever our salary was for those 3 years, we'd be able to credit all of our time in the legislature against it, and of course end up getting a very much higher salary. Now that's across the board. All the systems in the state do the same thing, whether you're in the highway department or whatever. But the point is that it's more noticeable in the legislature, and it's more apt to be, I would say, unjustified, because the legislators, which are kind of we're basically a part-time situation where we're making, somewhere around $30,000 a year, and we go to a $80,000, $90,000, $100,000 a year. That's a discrepancy that shouldn't be allowed. And I will predict right now, the Pension Reform Task Force, which I chair, and we're going to be making recommendations for legislation by the end of the month. I am confident that we will recommend on a bipartisan basis, and it's one area where I think at this point we're doing some bipartisan work. Well, we're going to recommend putting the legislature on a different footing in regards to retirement and make them be under the same system as everybody else in state government, as we will probably end up recommending a new type of retirement for new employees anyway. But one of the points being, you know, I'm going to retire with around $1,200 a month. Ken, I'm sure you're going to be in that same category, maybe a little less.
No, considerably less.
Yeah. Well, Senator Winters has only been in for 8 years, yeah. And you're on number 13, right,
yeah.
Mike Cherry?
Yeah, I'm on number 14. But you know, we don't. You never see the average. You never see the low ones. All you see is those extraordinary high ones, which are rare but do exist and shouldn't exist, and we need to get rid of it. In my opinion, we will get rid of it. But we are looking at a roughly $35 billion shortfall in the Kentucky retirement systems across the board. Of that, the legislative part of that is almost non-existent. I mean, we're talking a few million dollars. Now that's big bucks, but in the context of $35 billion, it's meaningless. But boy, it is a good campaign issue, and it is an issue that ought to be fixed. And when I say legislators, all you folks out there, I'm also included judges. Nobody talks about it very much, but it's both the judicial and the legislative system, retirement system, that needs to be changed. And I'm quite confident we will take care of that. It tickles me over the years, you know, for one person to run and say, I'm going to come up to Frankfort and I'm going to fix everything. Well, good luck with that. I mean, nothing's more discouraging than to see somebody running up here and they got the answers. Oh, well, I never thought about that. For goodness sakes, thank you for instructing me. I shouldn't go there. I'm through for a minute.
Now, but is that did Representative Fred Nessler, did he opt into that situation where he's taken a job with the Agriculture Department?
Well, Freddie hasn't retired yet.
Yeah. So if he works, if he spends 3 years with the Agriculture Department, would that be his high three? Is that how that works?
That's the way it would work. Yeah.
Okay.
But there is a flip flop on that also, and I suspect, you know, I wasn't in '04, but I suspect there are people that voted for this because of the opposite application of it too. Let's say someone was a teacher for 25 years or 24 years, and they decided to run for the Senate. Well, I can't run for the Senate because I'm locked in. I'm a captive in a retirement system, so I can't do that. But the reciprocity part of it would have, even though we don't hear about those, the reciprocity would have allowed a person with 24 years in the teaching profession to then run for office and use those 4 years or 2 years. It'd have to be five to be it wouldn't have to be for them to use it for their retirement, but they could apply that to their retirement. Their best 5 years or best 3 years would have been in their previous employment, not in the new one. So it would work both ways, but the one that Mike mentions, and then we all agree, this is just not the way that anyone thought this bill would work.
No, it wasn't thought through well enough, and it was one of those bills that went through at the last minute. Wasn't time to spend a lot of time looking for it because I was on state government committee. I knew and was well. That's past history. But you talked about Freddie Nessler. An even more current example is our friend David Williams,
who has gone
to a hundred and some odd thousand dollar judgeship, and he more so than Fred Nessler will be in a position where he could receive a much larger retirement issue. But I think the bottom line on the whole retirement issue is the only way to get rid of this is to put the legislators and judicial folks under the same system as everybody else. And that's where I'm the co-chair, along with Damon Thayer, who's the Republican senator who chairs the equivalent committee over in the Senate. I think both of us certainly agree that we need to change that, and I think the political will to do that now exists.
My last question for both of you is something that many Kentucky voters might have been surprised to see, the ballot measure to solidifying the hunting as a constitutional right. My question is, what prompted this, and was it necessary? Is there a threat to hunting rights in Kentucky?
Excuse me for jumping in, but no, there's not a threat, and it was just, in my opinion, I supported it. Of course, it started over here in the House in 2011, and we passed it unanimously. Well, duh, I don't know what the final figures were, but somewhere around 80%, I'm sure. And it's one of those no-brainers, feel-good legislation. But in my opinion, absolutely not necessary. Now, you can throw up, depending if you're a conspiracy theorist or whatever, you could probably throw up some scenario where it would make a difference. But I would think any scenario that it would in the future make a difference is a very unrealistic scenario. And if we've gotten to the point where our hunting and fishing constitutional rights are being threatened, I dare say we'll have a lot more serious problems than whether we can go hunting or not.
Well, I think the basic premise of this was that should something happen about firearms control, that eliminated the ability to have a firearm, then if we had a constitutional document that says we indeed are moving forward with the option to hunt and fish and so forth, then we have to have weapons to do that. I don't think there's a threat either, but I suspect, I don't know the author of the bill, but I suspect the real intent was let's protect ourselves down the road should something come up that tries to put pressure on our ability to have firearms and use them for recreation and hunting type activities. So, yeah, it is a feel-good kind of vote, and I think you saw across the state that it wasn't just the General Assembly that felt good about it.
No, it doesn't surprise you, does it?
No, it doesn't.
It was approved by, I think, 84%. Yeah. And so, but again, there is no threat. Well, we've been joined this half hour by Republican Senator Ken Winters, the 1st District State Senator, who's retiring after 8 years of service and chairing the Education Committee in the State Senate, and Representative Mike Cherry, 4th District State Representative, who served now in his 14th year, and he's been the chair of the state government committee in Frankfort. He's on the line from Frankfort. And Representative Cherry, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. As always, enjoyed it and hope to do it again sometime.
And Senator Winters, thank you very much for coming in, and we appreciate your time and insight.
Well, we appreciate your opportunities always to come and be with you, and we enjoy listening to your coverage. As I'm traveling back and forth last night from community to community, I was attuned to your analysis of the race, so I appreciate being here.
Thank you.